Exodus 34 and verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Jesus, bless us today as we come before you. Open our minds and our hearts to understand and give us a desire to live for you above all else, Lord. Touch each and every family represented here today. We thank you and praise you for what you're doing in our church, in our families, in our homes, in this community. We ask, Lord, that you reach out and touch. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, bump your neighbor and said, I want to understand God's glory. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm convinced the subject of God's glory has a very real, practical value for every true believer. And by grasping it, we can unlock the door to an overcoming life. We can be overcomers. We can worship in spirit and truth. We can be victorious in our relationships around us and our relationship with God. Amen? And I just want to talk just for a little bit about understanding the glory. Understanding the glory. There are two important truths. The glory of God is a revelation of our Lord's nature and being. You may recall from the Old Testament that Moses got a literal glimpse of God's glory. Before then, the Lord had sent out Moses with no explanation of himself than just words like, I am. Just say, I am, sent you. I am, sent you. But Moses, he wanted to know more, and he wanted to know something more of God. So he pleaded with him for the Lord to show him his glory. Show me your glory. And God responded by taking Moses aside and putting him in a cleft in the rock. And then the scripture says he revealed himself to Moses in his glory. Exodus 34 and 6, our text today. And the Lord passed by him, before him, and proclaim the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant, in goodness and truth. Verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. I believe this passage is absolutely essential to our understanding of who our Lord is. Often when we think about the glory of God, we think about the majesty and the splendor and His power and His dominion or some manifestation that we can see. But this isn't the glory that He wants you and I to know Him by. The way God wants us to know His glory is through the revelation of His great love towards us. Look at your neighbor and tell him, He loves you. He loves you. And that's just what He revealed to Moses. The Lord God is merciful, the scripture says, and gracious, long-suffering. Thank God He's long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that He made a way that you and I could come back to Him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. I'm out of line. But God, you make it right. Wash me and forgive me and make a way for me. The Lord is forever waiting to show us His love, to forgive us. It doesn't matter if you're here today and you have murdered someone or you have hurt someone, or God can forgive you. Now, there's probably going to be some consequences, so if you did it, don't tell me, because you're probably going to go to jail. But God can forgive you and wash you, and there is still a way for you. There's hope. You can make it. He wants to shower us with His mercy and restore us to Himself. The revelation of God's glory has powerful effects on those who receive it and pray and want to understand His glory. Up to this point, Moses had viewed the Lord as a God of law and truth. This had been the basis of his face-to-face relationship with the Lord. Yet now, at the first sight of God's glory, Moses was moved to worship. Scripture says Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Verse 8. He saw that God wasn't just thunder and lightning and a piercing trumpet and that had made him shrivel in fear. And I'm worshiping because I'm afraid. He saw the true revelation of God. On the contrary, God was love. And his nature was one of kindness and tender mercy. You have to see this incredible truth this morning. True worship arises from hearts that are overcome by a vision of God's love for us. When you begin to realize, you know, sometimes you just get on, everybody else can do everything but not you. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, you are good enough. God does love you. God does care for you. Just how you are, He loves you. It's based on the revelation that God gives us of Himself, of His goodness, of His mercy, of His readiness to forgive. So if we're to praise God both in spirit and in truth, our worship must be based on this truth about Him. He loves us. Seeing His glory changes the way that you and I live. It affects our countenance. It in our behavior changes us from glory to glory, making us more like Him. You say you want to be like Christ, do you? They crucified Him. He didn't do nothing. They killed Him. Well, I just want to be like Jesus. Well, yeah, that's I do too. But you got to understand what's going to happen. It will affect your countenance. It will affect your being. It will affect who you are. It'll change how you talk and how you think. It'll change how you act towards other people. Understanding God's love will change your whole world. Each new revelation of His love and mercy brings supernatural change. Seeing God's glory also changes our relationships with others. Paul tells the Ephesian church, you've seen and tasted the glory of God. Now be a reflection of that glory to others. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You want forgiveness? Give forgiveness. Don't hold it over their head the rest of their life. Let it go. Thank God God lets it go. I've said in this very pulpit, I wish sometimes I had a buzzer that I could buzz the person driving in front of me. Thank God God's not like that. He forgives us. Sometimes I wish I had a bulldozer in front of my car, so when you stop in that yellow median, just go. I had a lady stop the other day, true story. 5 minutes, she sat through two green lights. And when we finally did go, and I pulled up around beside her in a two-lane, she's doing this on her phone, driving. Bzzz. Thank God I'm not God. I would have zapped her. But God's love and His mercy and His long-suffering. Oh, He's more patient than you and I are. He's more giving than you. We get an offer of somebody, we're done with them. We kick them to the curb. I killed a turkey one time and it was still flopping. All of its buddies come over and they begin to peck it and kick it and spur it. And they want to make sure he was dead. That's what we do. Can't do that. You've got to have God's love. You've got to have God's long suffering. You've got to be more like Christ. The revelation of God's glory to us has everything to do with our communion with Him. What's your relationship with Him? When's the last time you actually talked to Him? Not just coming to church because it's Sunday or Tuesday, but a relationship with, not when you have a problem. God, how am I going to pay? God, how am I going to fix this flat? God, well, what am I going to do about that leak in the roof? Not when you have an issue. God, help my crazy family. We all have them. Touch them, God. But when it's just you and Him, and everything's going great, and you're on top of the world, what's your relationship like? What's your communion with Him then? Lord, thank You for Your blessings. Lord, thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, thank you for providing. Thank you, Lord, for touching our family. I've gotten into the habit of praying every night with Shelby and Eli, and every night we go into their rooms and we lay and we talk and we pray. And if I'm not home because I'm out working, I'll come in and Anna will say, "Hey, Eli's waiting for you. The little dude won't go to sleep now unless I go in and pray with him and talk to him." I want them to understand that. I want them to get that for themselves. So when they have children, they know, hey, you've got to have a relationship with God for yourself. And that's where it starts, a communion with God. Many talk about intimacy with the Lord and walking with Him and knowing Him and having fellowship with Him, but we can't have true communion with God unless we receive into our hearts the full revelation of His love, His grace, and His mercy. Communion with God consists of a couple of things: receiving the love of God and loving Him in return. It's a two-way street. The truth is, He doesn't need us. He gives you a choice. He gives you an opportunity to love Him and worship Him and talk to Him. There are angels and there are beings that praise Him consistently. He wants that love relationship. He's coming back for a bride. There's a relationship there to be a bride. You can spend hours each day in prayer telling the Lord how much you love Him, but that isn't complete communion. If you haven't received His love, you haven't had communion with Him. You simply can't share intimacy with the Lord unless you're secure in His love for you. It's a two-way street. The psalmist encourages us in Psalms 100, "Enter into His gates," that's God's gates, "with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise." With praise. Enter His gate with praise. And thanksgiving. What's the reason for such praises and thanksgiving? And why are we given such a bold invitation? It's because we're shown the kind of God we're to come to. For the scripture goes on in verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." That's why we come in with thanksgiving and with praise. I know when I come to God and when I'm coming in, He's not hard and fierce and mad at me or upset at me. He doesn't wait for me with an angry countenance and anxious to put the rod to my back and whip me and beat. Thank God He's not. He should be sometimes, probably most times if you're honest. But thank God He has mercy on you. Oh, He's tender-hearted, and He's full of grace and mercy, and He's anxious to lift all of our cares and our burdens, and I know He'll never turn me down when I begin to call on His name. Oh, God, I need You today. God, I need You in this situation. I know He's going to be there. That's why I'm coming to His courts with praise and thanksgiving, because I'm thankful for who my God is, and He cares about everything concerning me. Can I tell you a secret? He cares about you. He does. Some never grasp the truth that God loves them. God truly loves you. They haven't comprehended that, and they go through life in frustration because they don't realize, and in spite of all their weakness and failures, and their Heavenly Father cares about everything that you're going through and that you're facing. True love is manifest in rest and rejoicing. The prophet Zephaniah says something incredible about God's love for us. He writes, "The Lord," Zephaniah 3:17, "the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will rejoice. He will joy over thee with singing." This verse is telling us some important things about how the Lord loves us. God rests in His love for His people. In Hebrew, the phrase "He will rest in His love" reads, "He shall be silent because of His love." Did you catch that? He's silent because of His love. There's times when He should take us out. But because of His love and His long suffering and His mercy, He's silent. God is saying, in essence, I found my true love and I'm totally satisfied with that. I don't need to look elsewhere because I have no complaint. I am completely fulfilled in this relationship and I won't take my love back. My love is settled and that's it. It's a settled matter. Zephaniah is telling us this is God's love for you. He wants you to know, I found what I'm looking for and it's you. Point at yourself. It's you. It's me. God loves me. Say it with me. God loves me. God loves me. You bring great joy to God. You do. God gets great pleasure from His people. Zephaniah testifies, He rejoices over you with singing. He's saying, in other words, God's love for you is so great, it puts a song to His lips. To rejoice means to have joy and to have delight. It's an outward expression of internal delight. It's also the highest expression of love. The Hebrew word Zephaniah uses for rejoice here is tripudere, meaning to leap as one overcome with joyful ecstasy. Can you conceive our God being so in love with you that He leaps with joy at the very thought of us? It's a two-way street. But there's more. Understanding the glory. Can you receive His word that He loved you before the world was created? Because He did. Before humankind existed, before you were ever born. He loved you. Can you accept that He loved you even after you fell into Adam's sinful ways and became an enemy to Him? He loves you. He does. That's right. God foresaw all of your sin. He saw all of your failures. Yet He still loved you with the same tender love. In fact, He spent His Spirit to awaken you to the lost condition and your need for Him. And He draws people in. Unless He builds the church, they that labor in vain. I pray, God, You compel people. God, You motivate people. God, You stir up people in their hearts that they would come to the house of God and find you. He enfolds your arms and His arms around you. Then when you came to the cross in repentance, He enters you into you, His gift of love. And He's promised you, I loved you then, I'll love you now, and I'll love you to the very end. He gives you the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a love that will change your view on life. It's a love that will change your relationship with man around you, with God Himself. It's a love of understanding the glory. If God so loved you when you were deep in sin and caring enough for you to give His own life and to robe Himself in flesh and to willingly lay down and die, that's the kind of love He has for you. If He loves you that much, why would He remove your love, His love, whenever you stumble or fail? There's not a person in here that doesn't have faults or failures or mistakes under their belt or something that is there. In such times, we're to remember who He says He is to us, love. He's mercy. He's long-suffering. That His glory. And we're to return to His glory always. God does love His people, but can I tell you, He doesn't love sin? He loves you, but He doesn't love sin. The Bible says He reproves every child who continues in iniquity, but He always does it with long suffering. And after He reproves us, His Spirit fills us with a sense of His indignation over our sin. Through all of this, God's love for us remains unchanged. His word said, I am the Lord, I change not. His word says in James, the God with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. His word says in Hosea, I am God and not
man. God forbid that His love for us should ebb and flow as ours does for Him. Our love varies almost daily with our relationship, going from hot and zealous to lukewarm and even cold sometimes, just like the disciples. Can you imagine the disciples, men who walked with Jesus? We can be ready to die for Jesus one day and then forsake Him and run the next. We can tell the Lord we trust Him to supply all of our needs, but keep us from falling into that true communion. The question is, do we fully trust His love to us? Have we seen His love revealed and laid hold of it? Do you have a hold of God's love? Or are you just going through the motions? Is His love settled in your heart? I can promise you there's going to be tests that come. There's going to be situations that arise that are not your fault and you have no control over. But it will test your love. It will test your relationship. I have had in the last year and a half, preachers tell me, men and women tell me that are supposed to be of God, you ought to just give up. You ought to just quit preaching. You ought to just sit down and be quiet and go away. You ought to not just live for God anymore. Just go out and party. What? Hoobie-dooby-doo on all those voices, folks. That's not of God. My relationship is not because of them. My relationship is because of Him. My love is because of Him. I don't care what anybody else says or thinks. I know what me and Him have talked about. And my love relationship of His and understanding of His glory is right here. You can't worry about what everybody else says. You've got to keep marching. You've got to keep holding on to the things of God and the Word of God and the purpose of God. And when you live from that viewpoint, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who says what. Because you're in right relationship right here. Now, I'll testify, it ain't easy. It's difficult to see friends fail and people come and go out of your life that you thought you could count on. But He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. No matter what you're going through, if you'll just hold on to God, if you'll just hold on to the love of God and love Him like He loves you. He died for us. Love Him like that. A true love. This is when true communion begins. We're to be convinced each day of God's unchanging love for us, and we're to show Him we believe His revelation about Himself. John writes in 1 John 4, we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do you love God? Does God love you? I want God inside of me every day, in every situation, in every trial. No, I'm not perfect. No, I don't do everything right. But I serve a forgiving, loving God who can pick me up and say, come on, let me show you. Let me help you. That's what life is about. When you fail, you get up. And you keep going forward. You're not useless. You're not worthless. You are somebody. And God loves you. The other side of communion is our loving God back. As they come this morning, I wonder if we can sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Y'all know that one? Because I love Jesus. So that's one side of communion. The other side of communion is our loving God back. Walking in God's glory means not only that we receive God's love, but that we love Him back as well. It's about mutual affection, both giving and receiving love. The Bible tells us, Deuteronomy 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It's over and over in the Bible. God says to us in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. Where your heart is, your love is. Give me your heart, he says. Give me your love. Give me your affection. Give me your desires. His love demands that we reciprocate, that we return to Him a love that's total, undivided, requiring all of our heart, all of our soul and mind and strength. However, the Lord tells us in no uncertain terms, you can't earn my love. The love I give to you is unmerited. John writes in 1 John 4, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Oh, hallelujah. He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love Him. Verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. We didn't wake up one day and decide to walk away from our sins and turn to Jesus. No, the Spirit of God reached down into the wilderness of our lives and showed us our lostness and made us miserable in our sin. He sent us His Word to show us truth. He sent His Spirit to convict us. Then He came for us. He did it all for us, and He died, and He robed Himself in flesh, and He made a way for you and I. And now, just as God's love for us is marked by rest and rejoicing, so our love for Him must have these same elements. You've got to rest in assurance to know that God loves you and that you love God, and you've got to rejoice. And the fact that you are more than an overcomer with Christ that strengthens you. You are victorious, and you can worship Him in spirit and in truth because of a pure love. David expresses a rest in his love for God when he writes in Psalms, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides Thee. The heart that loves the Lord ceases completely from looking elsewhere for comfort. It finds full contentment in Jesus. As you stand to your feet this morning, God's loving kindness is better than life itself. Such a heart can rejoice and its love for God. I'm talking about you personally having a relationship with God and understanding His glory. Not because mama made you come to church. Not because you wanted to dress up and show out on Sunday morning. But because you have a daily love relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That no matter what you face, you know God is there. Understanding God's glory. Understanding His love. You know, when I was a child, I did childish things. The Bible talks about that. My mom and dad had a leather strap on the wall that said, I need Thee every hour. And some days I believe they used it every hour. And I didn't understand when I was little, why I was getting a whooping. But today, oh, thank God. Thank God for a mama and daddy who stood for truth. There were consequences. There were actions. And as I begin to grow up, I begin to appreciate. I remember about 10 or 11, my dad saying, one day you're going to look back and I'm going to be dead and gone. And you're going to say, thank you, Daddy, for putting this in me. Thank you, Daddy, for making me work. All my friends were off partying and playing. And you know what I was doing? I was working. Bought my first car at 16, paid for it myself. Because I had a dad who made me work. There were house rules. You were home by this time, and if you weren't home, you better call and say, Daddy, I'm running a little bit late. I had a flat, or this happened, and it better be a good reason. And you better have had a flat. But there was that underlying love that you just knew. No matter what I do, Daddy's gonna love me. Same way He loves you. He doesn't love sin, but he loves you. And he wants you to make it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Would you just join the hand of your neighbor right where you are? Would you lift it to heaven and just begin to sing this with him? God, I love you. Begin to ask him, God, I want you in my life for myself. I want a love relationship like never before, God, because of you, because of your love, because of your mercy, God. God, I want to understand your glory. I want to understand, oh God,